This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. We're going to talk a little bit about the Gaza stuff, us taking control of Gaza. That's moving forward quickly, very, very quickly. I'm going to get into that here in just a moment. We'll talk about that. Apparently, the Danes are trying to acquire California. That's always a good time. Are Democrats committing political suicide? One liberal thinks so. All that, emails, so much more coming up this final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, you already know the backstory of the things Trump has been saying about Gaza. He floated it out there a while ago. We're going to take control of Gaza. This is, I would say, last week, 2 weeks ago, floated it out there. And like a lot of the things Trump says and does, because he sees things differently than other people do, it was not taken all that seriously right off the bat. People kind of laughed it off. You remember he was at that press conference with Netanyahu, and he essentially said, yeah, we're just going to take control of Gaza. And people, they commented on it, but they kind of smirked and laughed it off. Just like they smirked and laughed off his Greenland plans. Just like they smirked and laughed off his Gulf of America, renaming the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of... They keep smirking and laughing these things off. And I keep telling people, this human being, they're guys like that think differently. They just do. And he wants to do gigantic things in his last 4 years. He does. Wants his face on Mount Rushmore. I don't know whether he actually physically wants it up there, but he wants to be that kind of president. So Trump has been moving forward quickly when it comes to this. One, he's still threatening Hamas with the return of our hostages, as every American president should, no matter who holds an American, no matter which party happens to hold the White House. The entire world should know, if you take Americans, if you harm Americans, you will die. That's part of a contract. That's part of the citizen government contract we all understand. I'm a citizen. I understand that the government has some authority. I also understand as a citizen that I am required to follow the laws of this land, and I do, mostly. I understand that I have to pay taxes, and I do. But it's not a one-way contract, you see. The government, in turn, does need to provide me with things, otherwise the contract is broken. And one of the benefits of citizenship now and always, it's always been this way, is when you leave your country, when you travel abroad, you understand that you are given a layer of protection by the country you come from. That has always been understood. If you were in the Mongolian Empire, you're in Genghis Khan's Mongolian Empire, and you take the long road to, you head to Europe. You end up in France, in Europe. And the French government, let's say they even catch you doing something wrong, shoplifting, whatever that version of shoplifting would have been. You have every right as a Mongolian citizen back then to say, hey, Mongolia, these guys are messing with me. You're going to do something about that? That's basic. But Democrats hate the country. And that's just the truth. They do. It's not that they don't care about it. That's many of them. But most of them hate it. And they definitely don't feel some special affinity for American citizens. The only time Joe Biden really put any kind of a serious effort into getting back an American citizen is when a black lesbian was taken prisoner by Russia. Then he bent over backwards and handed over the world's most foremost arms dealer so we could get back a WNBA player nobody cares about. So unless they can use it for domestic political points, they never care. Trump, one of the best parts of his first presidency that was completely underrated, is Trump goes and gets our people. He is always trying to get our people back. He did it the first time. And apparently, Hamas has been put on notice. He's going to do it again.
You'll find out, and they'll find out, too. Hamas will find out what I mean.
Mr. President,
they're going to find out what I mean. These are sick people, and they'll find out what I mean Saturday at 12.
But no involvement.
He's given them a date. He's given them a time. Saturday at 12 p.m. Saturday at noon. No ifs, ands, or buts. He even said, no dribs and drabs, no one hostage here, two hostages there. You return our people back by noon on Saturday, or pain is coming. I wouldn't be surprised if they return him, because Hamas knows he means it. But that brings us to Gaza. Now, let's do a little, before we go into another Gaza talk here, let's do a little bit of discussion on that region, because I think it would be helpful for some people who maybe don't know. Anybody who's opened up the Old Testament, or it's the Torah for you people, right, Chris? Or the Torah, or the Quran talks about it as well. This area, Lebanon, Israel, all this stuff is ancient. It is an ancient area that people all across the globe have wanted or held, or it's just an ancient, ancient place. And people who come from there, Jews, Muslims, so many people who come from there, or their heritage is from there, the land itself means more to them than generally the land means to an American. That's not putting us down as Americans, but like me, for instance, I've lived all over the place. Born in Ohio, moved to Montana, Marine Corps in California. I lived in Arizona. I lived in Washington, D.C. I've been all over the place I've lived. Now, I have a place in my heart for most of those places. I do. But I'll be honest with you, none of them are sacred to me. Montana is not sacred to me. I love it, but it's not sacred. There's not some ancient religious, historical significance of that place to me. Now let's go back to ancient times. The Israelites, they came out of captivity in Egypt. It's a famous story. Hopefully you know that this is the whole Moses story. The Israelites had captivity. They were slaves in Egypt. They came out of it. They eventually found themselves in the Promised Land. Right. So this is an ancient, we're talking King David, all these things. This is an ancient, ancient place. The Israelites had been there forever. But again, the Palestinians think they have a claim on it too. So again, we're talking ancient claims. The Romans started to conquer the known world. Pompey Magnus and the boys find their way down to Israel and say, wow, this place, I think we'll keep it. And it is famously fertile. The soil is crazy good over there. Grapes and all kinds of things. Just, it's a place you would want. Strategically, it's a place you'd want. The Romans tried to colonize it. Hey, all you Jews, you can all stay here. Yep, keep worshiping your God. But remember, the Roman government is superior to your God. You can still practice some of your religion, but you will pay homage to us. The Jewish people were infamously impossible for the Romans to get a hold of. They were always rebelling, and I'm not talking some 100-man street protest. Huge rebellions. We have Israeli or Jewish armies, whatever way you want to put it, defeating Roman armies. It was huge. We're talking 30,000-man armies, wars. Finally, the Romans have freaking had enough of it. And the Romans said, it's these people's ties to the land that creates such a problem. And that's really what it was. Jewish people, especially Orthodox Jews today, if you ever talk to them, there's a tie there. Even American Orthodox Jews, there's a tie there. Muslims, if you talk to Muslims, many Muslims, most of the ones I know, well, they feel a tie there. There's a tie to that land specifically. And the Romans knew that's why the Jews were giving them so many problems. And so they said, I don't care where you go, but you can't stay here. It's known as the diaspora, the Jewish diaspora. They scattered them to the winds. They said, you cannot stay here anymore. Your ties to the land have created too many problems for us, so you must leave. And they left, scattered them all over the planet. The Jews went all over the place. Well, after this time or during this time, just depends on who you talk to, people began to settle there. Now, they weren't settling up some civilized society of booming cities and writing and works of art and things like that. They were a pastoral, rural people, the Palestinians, settled down. But then, finally, in the wake of World War I, and it really ramped up out after World War II, Jewish people, through a lot of different things, started to come back. Now, pause on that. I'll continue that story in just a moment. Very brief history before we get into what else I have to say about this. Before we get into that, let's talk about making sure we feel good all the time. Making sure we have energy all the time. Making sure our minds work right all the time. You know, what if you just started with some chocolate powder in the morning? Natural herbal supplements from Chalk. Just start your day. You don't even have to start a male vitality stack or female vitality stack unless you feel like it. What if you just for a month started your day every single day with some chocolate powder in a smoothie or milk or something like that? Start your day with vitamins, minerals, ready to go. You know how much better your mood, your energy is? It makes such a difference. Frankly, I wished I'd found it earlier. Every single morning, chocolate powder goes in a superfood smoothie Ob makes me. Every single morning. Try it. A month. You might just find yourself regretting that you waited so long. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Also reminding you, if any of this history I'm doing right now about the history of the region, Israel, Palestine, Gaza, all this stuff, if any of this stuff, if I have offended you by anything I have said, I don't give a crap. So you're welcome to email the show and tell me how mad you are about me. I don't care. Your offense means nothing to me whatsoever. Clear? Back to what we were discussing. The Jews get scattered to the winds by the Romans, the Roman diaspora. But the land is still sacred to them. The Palestinians began to settle there, a rural, pastoral people. We're talking, you know, the cattle, things like that. Well, the land's sacred to them too. Now, I want to pause on this to explain briefly what sacred land, at least try to explain what that means. This last weekend, one of my good buddies, he's a Hasidic Jew, I believe he is. Hasidic Jew. He flew into town so we could hang out, just hang out, catch up on old times. And he dropped this bomb on me. He's from Phoenix. And my wife, three kids with one on the way, I think. Maybe four kids, one on the way. Wife, bunch of kids. They have every intention of moving to Israel permanently. Now, this is a red, white, and blue loving American. Loves this country. He's not running away from America. But that's what I'm talking about when it comes to sacred. Chris, Jewish producer Chris, told me he has multiple people in his synagogue who plan on doing the same. They're going to Israel. That's how sacred it is. Here's how I'll describe it to you best as I can, because I don't feel this way about any particular land. Probably that's because we bounced around so much. I want you to picture you live on 10 acres, maybe a ranch. A 10-acre ranch. So nothing big, but 10 acres. But your dad owned that 10 acres. And his dad owned that 10 acres. And his dad, and his dad, and his dad. You can trace the 10 acres you currently live on back to the American Revolution, where your family fought for and claimed that land. And here we are, the year 2025. Now, you didn't know your great-great-great-grandpa who founded that land. But would that land mean more to you? Would that 10 acres mean more to you than just some random 10 acres? Of course, that's your family's blood, your heritage built into that land. The land means more to the people who live there. All right, back to the Jews returning home. Post-World War II, this really ramps up. It had been going on in World War I, but through post-World War II, it really ramps up and the world says, hey, Hitler slaughtered millions of them. Let's give them a homeland. The Jews come back and reconquer Israel. And that is what they did. They did it through politics. They did it through finance. They did it through violence. There was all kinds of violence there, but they reconquered it. They understood the world wasn't that comfortable with all that at the time. And so these pastoral Palestinians who had settled down there, who the land is sacred to them too, left them this sliver of land, which actually is really lovely right there on the water, which is known today as Palestine. Now, I just talked about sacred land and what it means to the Jews, but also what it means to the Muslims as well. You walk into Jerusalem to this day, that's not a Jewish synagogue up there on the mount. That's, you know, a mosque. That's what it is. The land is sacred to them. Chris, don't make that face. Don't make that face. It's what it is. It's a mosque up there. The land is sacred to them. So, well, here's Trump talking about Gaza.
Today you just said we're not going to buy Gaza.
We're not
going
to have to buy. We're going to have Gaza. We don't have to buy. There's nothing to buy. We will have Gaza.
What does that mean?
No reason to buy. There is nothing to buy. It's Gaza. It's a war-torn area. We're going to take it. We're going to hold it. We're going to cherish it. We're going to get it going eventually where a lot of jobs are going to be created for the people in the Middle East. It's going to be for the people in the Middle East, but I think it could be a diamond. It could be an absolute tremendous asset for the Middle East, and you're going to have peace. It's going to bring peace in the Middle East.
What do you think the Palestinians in Gaza think about that? There's nothing there anyway. Well, for them, there's a lot there. For them, it's your dad's 10 acres. For them, we're talking sacred territory. These people have been dying for this area for 2,000 years. They've been dying for this plot of land. That can be hard to understand if you don't look at land like that. Now, look, again, he wants to do big things. This is how he sees the world. I don't fault him for it.
He wants to say that they're living in hell. It's a death trap.
Mr. President, how do you know that the Palestinians don't want to leave their land? Some people say this is ethnic cleansing. You won't be able to force them to leave their land.
We're moving them to a beautiful location where they have new homes, where they can live safely, where they'll have doctors and medical and all of those things. And I think it's going to be great.
I'm just not quite so sure the people who trace their history back there, I'm not so sure they're going to settle for a nice condo and a well-paying job. I don't think that's going to be the case. And the resettling, look, the King of Jordan came out, I reaffirmed Jordan's firm stance against the displacement of Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank. This is the unified Arab position. He came out and said that today. Nobody wants them. Every time you take them in, they're murdering everybody and blowing everything up. It's going to be a challenge. Look, if there's anyone who can pull it off, it's Trump. I think it might be a challenge. All right, speaking of legacy, history, have you digitized all of yours? All those hard copy pictures you have, all those camcorder tapes, all those VHS tapes, I know there are incredible memories on there, and I've really, really developed an affinity recently for looking at old memories. But unless you digitize them, they will fade. They will. Time will get them. The sun will get them. Heat will get them. Water will get them. Eventually, that VHS tape is no more. That hard copy picture is no more. Why don't you let Legacy Box make sure they last forever? That's what Legacy Box gives you. They digitize all these things for you. You put them in a box. You send them to Legacy Box. They digitize everything. And then your kids, kids, kids will look at pictures and video of you. Isn't that a freaking cool thing to pass down? And you save 50% at LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Don't forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Also, don't forget,
I love you back.
What, Chris? I can still go back to the old ones. I miss Dome. I miss her. I miss her brain dead, speeches. I miss how cringe it all was. Part of me, a very, very small part of me, misses her. All right, so I have some good news. There's all kinds of good news right now, but I believe we are close to ending this whole Russia-Ukrainian disaster that it has been. Now, close, what does that word even mean? I don't know, because these things move slower than you want them to mean. Are we going to wake up tomorrow and see that Putin and Zelensky have signed some peace agreement? No, of course not, but today, Zelensky said a couple things, one of those things being, hey, we're going to pay America back with some rare earth minerals we have here in Ukraine. Putin has already made some comments. I suspect that now Trump's been elected, we'll find a way to end this thing. It's going to end the same way it was always going to end, no matter what, no matter how much money and bombs and bullets and lives are thrown away. It's going to end with Russia taking some of what was formerly Ukraine. How much of that they're going to take, I don't know. That's going to all come down to negotiations. What, Chris? Chris said, wasn't that deal on the table 2 years ago? Well, thank you, Chris, for that setup, which I'm sure you actually did by accident. So there's no way you'd be clever enough to pull that off on your own. Yes. You see, there are so many evil people and evil entities in this world who do selfish, horrible, evil things, and they throw away lives for their own purposes. And it's always been this way. Very early on, what I just said about how this is going to end in a negotiated peace with Russia taking some of the land they want back, it's not like I'm some genius. I'm a moron, as you well know. Really smart people on both sides recognize that fact very early on. And in fact, they tried to make that happen very early on. Hey, let's sit down. We're 500,000 men dead already. Come on. Come on. Let's come together. Let's get this thing over. We got to stop all this. And yet the powers that be in the West stopped the peace process. This is not me guessing. We know this now. Powerful people in the West stopped the peace process so there could be no negotiated peace. Now, why? If you're, let's say you're a powerful American. Let's say you're a Joe Biden, Antony Blinken, even. Let's say you're a powerful American with a lot of say-so in the peace process. Because you watch, we're going to be intimately involved in the Russia-Ukrainian peace negotiations. Trump will probably be there personally. I wouldn't put it past him. We're going to be involved. America is going to help broker that deal. So why wouldn't you try to broker a deal? Well, Tucker dropped this little gem. Nothing that's going to surprise you, but pretty revealing. Remember when I just said this world has a lot of very, very evil people in it who would watch thousands, hundreds of thousands die to make a buck? Listen to this.
Second fact, not guess, fact is Ukrainian military is selling a huge percentage, up to half of the arms that we send them. Half. And I'm not guessing about this. I know that for a fact, okay? Not speculation. And they're selling it, and a lot of us winding up with the drug cartels on our border. So this is a crime, what's happening. Our intel agencies are fully aware of this. You tell me they're not profiting from this. Of course, you think CIA is not profiting from this? Yes, they are.
We have been shipping vast quantities of equipment into before Russia invaded, Ukraine was the black market hub for weapons in the world. Remember that. I know that. You've probably already read that. You've heard me talk about it before. If you have any friends in the intelligence agencies or in, you know, military types who would know, they will tell you, if you are a drug cartel, we'll make it about the drug cartel. If you are the Sinaloa drug cartel, just like nations, these drug cartels are basically as powerful as nations, just like nations, you're always looking for a technological weapons edge over your competitor. So let's say you're the drug cartel and you're in the market for, you want a submarine. That's what you want, a submarine. And don't laugh. These cartels have submarines. Let's say you want a submarine. Well, one of your first phone calls is going to be to any random general, although you'd know his name, in the Ukrainian military. He has a reputation internationally of being a man who, for the right price, can get you the equipment you want. And cross the T's, dot the I's, you have a brand new submarine parked out in front of your Mexican villa, ready to do all kinds of dastardly things with it. Now, there are, look, terrorist organizations would go to Ukraine to get the equipment, the bombs, the bullets, the guns they want. This was before Russia invaded. Remember, part of the reason Ukraine was never welcomed into NATO is the rampant corruption in their government. This is before Russia invaded. It's just simply known. Remember the Biden family. The Biden family was intimately involved in all this, which we now know. Hunter Biden taking an $80,000 a month job at a Ukrainian energy company when he had no business being there. And Joe Biden personally, as vice president, shut down the investigation into the company. This is not to dog. I don't mean to just pile on Ukraine. It's a very corrupt place. It's not dogging on them. You know my love for Mexico, Mexicans, Mexican music, Mexican food, Mexican people, Mexican culture. I love it. I've loved Mexico. I'm a Mexico fan. Mexico's government's garbage, corrupt garbage, and that's not insulting them. Ukraine's government is corrupt garbage. So Russia invades it, and we take this government that we know to be corrupt garbage. We know it. And we just start sending them missiles, equipment. We're training them how to fly F-16s. We just start shipping this stuff over there. And then not only that, remember Rand Paul? He was trying to stop all this stuff from going over there and he failed. But Rand, bless his heart, said, okay, if we're not going to stop sending stuff over there, at least let me add this amendment to the bill that will allow us to track the things we're sending. Can we at least track the things we're sending? Anyone object that? Nope. Immediately shot down. Now, why do you think that is? Think about the carnage of this war. All the young men on both sides who've been slaughtered. All those young wives who are now widows. Mothers who lost their sons. They're conscripting 50-year-olds. And just sit and dwell on the fact that on top of other things, this war has been a multi-year money and weapons laundering endeavor, and we've been funding it. And what Tucker just said about the cartels, some of our weapons ending up in the hands of the cartels, I have no doubt that that's true, because as I just said, no matter who you are, you could be ISIS-K, you could be Boko Haram, you could be North Korea, you could be a drug cartel. If you want to get your hands on some spicy weaponry, you've always known the place to go. You've always known where the Walmart of black market weapons is. It's Ukraine. And the United States of America has spent multiple years now sending our weapons that you paid for into that place. And Mitch McConnell, big cheese in the GOP before Trump came storming back into town, actually, at one point in time, gave a press conference explaining, and this is almost verbatim, that there's nothing more important in the world right now than Russia-Ukraine. The most important thing in the world to Mitch McConnell was that we send our weapons into the largest weapons black market on the planet. Naked corruption. Open corruption. It's ugly. All right. Let's move on past that. We'll make fun of the Danes here really quickly. That's always a good time. Before we do that, let's save a baby. Save a life. It's hard to accept that we're still killing so many babies in this country, because we wanted, at least I wanted, you wanted Roe versus Wade to get overturned and for it to just stop, but you don't change hearts and minds. You don't change a culture by overturning a bad Supreme Court ruling. You change the abortion culture in this country by introducing mothers to their baby by ultrasound. It's been the greatest tool in the fight for life. Don't just say you're pro-life. Do something about it. $28 could save a life that buys that ultrasound. Preborn will give that mother the ultrasound for free. That's actually being the hands and feet and saving the lives of these wonderful, wonderful kids. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give, and it's tax deductible. Preborn.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, but we will be back tomorrow. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I should give you a heads up, I guess, now. I'm not going to go into details right now out of respect for the family and everyone involved, but there is there's someone in my life who may be passing on pretty soon. And when I say pretty soon, I don't know what that means. I don't know whether, if that means tonight. I don't know if it means next month, but definitely passing on very soon. And I will most definitely have to go to the funeral. I would want to go to the funeral. So there's a chance someday you're going to show up and I'm just not going to be here for a day or two. But I'll be right back. If I'm gone, that's almost undoubtedly where I am. I will be right back and we'll have some more fun, okay? Let's have some fun right now and make fun of the Danes. Because Denmark, the citizens, in response to Trump trying to claim Greenland, have signed a petition to buy California from the United States of America. Now, this is hilarious on multiple fronts. But first of all, Denmark, come on. Do you really want Greenland that bad? It's a massive block of inhospitable ice. There's a reason like 50,000 people live on the entire thing because it's awful. Nobody wants it. So look, maybe you don't want America to bully you out of owning Greenland, but let's not act like you're extremely personally offended by somebody purchasing Greenland, by somebody giving away Greenland. You have no affinity for Greenland whatsoever. None at all. That's one. Two. Think of Greenland as their New Jersey, right? No, I'm kidding. That wasn't fair. But you understand exactly what I mean. Come on. Greenland, that's one. Two. California. California, as much as we all love to make fun of California because, sadly, they gave away that state to the dirty commies, California's paradise to this day. To this day, the most Republicans live in California, more Republicans live in California than any other state. Now, why would Republicans, any Republicans, subject themselves to constant communist rule, the fees, the prices, the gun laws, to everything? That, why would any sane person still be residing in California with the nutballs who run that state from top to bottom? Because it's paradise. And it's not only paradise, it's the fifth largest economy in the world if it was its own country. It is by far the most powerful, prosperous U.S. state. Denmark. You can't afford it. I'm not even insulting Denmark or the Danes. I like the Danes. I guess, you know what, I shouldn't say that. I've only ever known, what, Chris? The Danish. What are you talking about? I'm not... Oh, you're talking about the food. Yes. I was even thinking about food, Chris. It's weird you think about food all the time. Is there anything more Danish than that Entenmann's raspberry Danish? Have you ever had that thing from the grocery store? It comes in the box. Oh, Chris, it's fantastic. It's got, don't distract me, Chris. I don't know. I think I've only ever known one Danish person in my life, and that was a foreign exchange student who came to our high school, and she was a chick, and she was really hot. So I'm a supporter of the Danes. I have 100% experience right now, 100% positive experience dealing with Danish people. It's nothing against Danish people. But Denmark, you can't afford California. California is worth more than your entire country several times over. I'm sorry. If this helps, I do believe Donald Trump is going to have Greenland before it's over, Denmark. But I will. I have some contacts inside the White House. I will reach out and see. I'm not making you any promises. I'm going to see if they'll throw in some rough greens to make this easier. Because you're not going to have Greenland anymore. You're not going to have it. But you can have a dog who lives longer because you're finally giving your dog the vitamins and minerals, the digestive enzymes, the antioxidants, the things your dog needs to survive. And so you could say, hey, a Buffy, or however the Danish accent is. And you can say, come get your food with the rough greens on it. And so you can sprinkle some rough greens on your Danish dog's food and he won't die as early. Free Jumpstart trial bags. 833-33 my dog member. If you're calling from Denmark, you need to make sure you put in the correct country code, though. 833-33 my dog or roughgreens.com/Jesse. Do keep in mind, for the free Jumpstart trial bag, you do have to pay the shipping, and that might be a little stout heading to Denmark. However, roughgreens.com/Jesse. You Danes do have the internet, right? Hey, Chris, they have the what? They have the internet, right? You think so? Look, we can't be sure. All right, if you don't have the internet, just use the phone. All right? That's one. Two, it's time for headlines.
And now...
Here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Liberal analyst warns Dems, suicide to defend USAID. I agree and I disagree. Democrats right now, they look horrible taking it to the streets, sending Liz Warren out there to scream about USAID.
For every American who doesn't want some weird Elon Musk suck up searching through your personal private data, this is your fight. Your fight. My fight.
Her voice is hard to handle. Listen, temporarily, politically, yes, it's really bad for Democrats. Their approval numbers are going to keep going down. But power-wise, remember, communists are concerned with power, not popularity. Power-wise, defending U.S. aid is everything for them. Pentagon ups spy flights near the U.S.-Mexico border. I've always wanted to go on a spy flight. Have you ever seen... You know anything about the U-2 spy planes? I know that's older spy planes and things like that back in the day. Chris, you don't know anything about U-2 spy planes and stuff? Gosh, what's wrong with you? Anyway, I want to go in one of these high-flying planes and look through the cameras and take pictures and stuff. I'm assuming it will get boring after a long time, but I still think that sounds really cool. Pete Hegg says Pentagon shuts down transgender recruitment and costly medical procedures. That just is a reminder that we just spent 4 years paying for tranny surgery for people who joined the United States military. Gosh, we can never allow Democrats back into office again. Migrants turning around and heading back home in a, quote, new trend under the Trump border crackdown. Once again, the best border security is your reputation. It's not worth walking all the way from Argentina if you're just going to get arrested and deported. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton expands probe protecting girls' sports. I would have liked to have seen Ken Paxton as Attorney General. From what I understand, he was going to have some hard times getting confirmed, but I really, really hope he takes out John Cornyn in a primary next year. Elizabeth Warren, Trump and Musk can't shut down U.S. aid. Only Congress can. I kind of love that Democrats have made Elizabeth Warren the face of all this because, man, she's hard to listen to. I'll be back tomorrow. We'll do this again. That's all.